As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
We're back and we're doing this show hours away from Vegas and Five. So that's where you disconnect from. I've been waiting a long time for that.
It's first very, of all, very cheeky opening.
Yeah,
that's very cheeky.
You're back from Florida.
I am.
You were at Game 4. We'll get into all that in a second. Lots to talk about. Pucks and Seven, Ryan Payton, Victoria Matiash. Follow us on Twitter at Ryan M. Payton, at Victoria Matiash. And catch Vic doing work, great work as always, on a major news talk channel in Toronto. And ESPN.com, and that was a nice tie-in, too, from your Florida trip, which you sent pictures of, which were fantastic. Anyway, it was really good. I work SiriusXM, NHL Network Radio, Channel 91, and Kraken writer for the Hockey Writers as well. We're going to get into some off-ice news. Hirings around the NHL, namely the Rangers, namely the Flames. We'll talk about the Sens. Finally, that sale is done. It took forever, but it is done. So that's next. But let's begin with the Stanley Cup Final. First of all, Game 4 and the weekend that you were in Florida. So give me just a little bit of a synopsis of it, if you remember.
It was wonderful. I do. It was a whirlwind. We were only gone. One of my writing partners at ESPN.com, Sean Allen, we've been working together for almost 2 decades. It's just amazing to think of it. And we went down together. It was a whirlwind. We arrived on Friday. We came back on Sunday, but we still managed to jam in a lot, including the game on Saturday night in Sunrise. It was something else. We were a little high up in the arena, but the sight lines were great. The views were great. I had myself my stool and my standing bar rail, which you will know is my happy place, especially when the washroom is right there and the bar is right there. I'm exactly where I need to be.
You're right in the middle.
It was an impressive... Fort Lauderdale was a lot of fun. We had some beach time. We ate too many tacos. We drank too many margaritas, but it was really, really great.
Yeah.
And the game itself was, I will tell you this, my biggest takeaway, and this is the first live game I've seen in Sunrise. I've watched the Lightning play live before down in Tampa, but I have never been down in this area before. And the fan base absolutely impressed the heck out of me.
Yeah.
Everybody was super jazzed. We're super pumped. There was tailgating outside. The fans are singing. They're chanting, "Go Panthers, go." It didn't matter if you were 94 or 4 years old. You were wearing something, either a jersey or a t-shirt, probably more than one item of clothing. The scarves were really popular. Everybody was right into it. The mood was fantastic.
Yeah.
And the next time I hear somebody talk about how these non-traditional hockey markets don't get it, don't get into it, I'm going to tell them it's a big pile of horse poop, because I've seen it in a bunch of places already now. I know it's a playoff game, and I know it's a little bit more exciting, and it's not going down in the middle of January. I understand that. But at the same time, everybody was 100% invested in this. They were enthusiastic. And it seems that I have not seen, and I'm going to make a big deal about this, I have attended live games in 4 of the 6 original 6 hockey markets. I've been to Detroit, Chicago, Boston, and Toronto. And they have nothing to brag about. I'm sorry.
You don't have to apologize.
So good on you, Sunrise. Good on you, South Florida. I understand that sports market in general, even when it comes to the Dolphins and the baseball team and the Heat and the rest of it, is sometimes they love their winners. I understand that, but that's a lot of markets. They brought it, and it was in a fantastic atmosphere. I had no horse in the race, really. I wanted a good hockey game. And I will say this, I was only disappointed not also because I want the series to go on longer. That's my own selfish view. But I really wanted Florida to come back, which they had a very good opportunity to do so in the dying seconds, tie it up, go to overtime, just because I wanted those fans to enjoy it. Yeah. I just, throughout all of this, I thought they deserved it. So well done, Florida. Thank you very much to the Panthers for hosting us. That was really lovely. And it was a wonderful, I'm still recovering. It's Tuesday. it was a good time.
That's the sign of it. That's the sign of an extra good trip when you're 2 days back thinking I'm still recovering.
I'm a little tired still. Still a little tired. Yeah.
Completely on board with you. And for the Panthers, it's been different compared to Tampa Bay. Because Tampa Bay Lightning, they've won two of the last three cups and all this type of stuff. They've been successful more so than Florida. Not a lot of people show up for games over the course of the season in Sunrise, in the 41 home games, all that stuff. But I'm with you. They've embraced this team. The NHL's embraced the team. Even if you're not a fan of the Panthers and say you don't like the Vegas Golden Knights, you're on board. You're on the Panther train. You are on board with Florida to see what they can do if they can pull off this big thing.
And hopefully it continues, Ryan, because the whole, all of Fort Lauderdale, you couldn't go anywhere without seeing a banner on a lamp. Yeah. There's banners on light posts. There's planes hauling flags across. There are taxis that are decaled up with the Panthers logo.
Optically, it looks amazing.
Everybody was right into it. So no matter what happens this series, no matter what, hopefully that this continues and they can, you know, ride the coattails from this success and everybody realizes hockey is really fun. It's really fun for this area because it's a state area, really. It's not one city that can get behind this team because there's some great players and obviously they know what they're doing. So let's look at that going forward. The game itself, obviously, was interesting. Just when they went down 3-0 halfway through the second, you started to think, oh boy. And then, you know, getting a couple back, especially the Barkov goal late, and you thought they still had a shot, especially getting the power play late. And even the one opportunity, I think it was Sam Reinhart with 10 seconds left. And then I can't even remember who had the shot with 4 seconds left with his Forsling. It was just all a blur. And you thought, we're going to do it again. We're going to go to overtime. So that was a little bit taking the air out of the balloon. You did want it to happen, but it was still, it was a very entertaining hockey game. It was a very disciplined hockey game. Special teams played no part of this, really. No.
And two things with that. Number one, that's one of the things we talked about that the Panthers needed to do after the first couple games, especially stop taking stupid penalties. And Paul Maurice was adamant about it after. We're turning the series into a physical one. We don't need to make it a physical one. Duclair saying the same thing. Tkachuk needed to stop doing what he was doing at the end of whatever and just focus in. By the way, we'll get to him in a second. So that's a massive story going into game five. Two things with that last stretch, the last flurry, if you will. Number one, when the puck was in the Florida, the Vegas zone in the last 30, whatever it is, seconds, first name that came to mind was Matthew Tkachuk, right? Obvious, time winding down, seconds left, game about to be tied. Who's going to do it? Matthew Tkachuk. Sam Bennett was at the side of the net. Tkachuk had a shot. And if that did go in, I timed it out and I looked at it, it wouldn't have counted.
No, it wouldn't.
There was no time left on the clock. No time left. Yeah, it was done. But give the pin. But here's the thing. To also your point about, you said discipline and then the power play, man advantage. The Panthers are 0 for 13. 0 for 13 in the first four. I don't care what team you're playing, who you are, you're not going to win anything if you don't score. So going into game five, we'll get into that in a second, but that is a major, major thing for the Panthers. And I give credit to Vegas, Vic. They're shutting down the shooting lanes. They're clogging up the neutral zone. Their PK has been absolutely great. It's been disciplined as well. So as bad as the Panthers' power play's been, the PK by Vegas has been phenomenal. So one offsets the other, but 0 for 13, I'm sorry. The fact you're down 3-1, not surprised if you can't get a goal on the power play.
Not only that, you've spoken to for weeks now, if not months, we have, but you've been really on this about Vegas's depth.
Yes.
And one of my biggest takeaways, not only could you see it on the ice, but you just check the stats later to make sure that you know what you're talking about, or I know what I'm talking about in this particular instance. And Zach Whitecloud and Nicholas Hägg were on for all three goals.
Yeah.
Right.
What? That's all you need to know.
Right.
That's all you need to know.
They even contributed. Both of them contributed at least one assist. I actually think Hägg had two. But again, they each contributed. But when your depth defenders, who have been fantastic all postseason, but when your depth defenders are a plus three in a 3-2 win for you, and that's what's giving you the opportunity to play for a Stanley Cup a few nights later, I think that speaks very loudly to the depth on this team. And it's fantastic for them, for Vegas. I still don't want them to win tonight, but I know. It's been fantastic for them.
I know. They played very well. The Panthers have not been terrible. They've had terrible stretches at times, and that's cost them. But at the end of it all, they're down 3-1. So statistically, if you want to look at what a 3-1 deficit means in the Stanley Cup final, this will be the 38th time that it is going to be 3-1. And the team that is on the top end of that 3-1 count, so tonight, for example, Vegas, they won 20 of the previous 37 games. The losing team down 3-1, they've won 17, so it's very close.
That's pretty tight. That's very tight.
But after that, it goes to 30. Sorry, what? Sorry,
You're going to give me the stats for game five, but now you're going to give me the stats for the series. And 30, I imagine it's going to be a larger gap when we get to
37-1. Those that are up 3-1 go on to win 37 out of 38 times. Anyway, so here's what we do going in for game five. Let's move on to that. Both head coaches, Cassidy in the right spot. Paul Maurice is calm, cool, and collected for the most part. He's had some blow-ups behind the bench, but that's part of his thing. But he's got to keep them calm. And really, the no-pressure thing, nothing really to lose, has been the mentality for the Panthers, and you got to kind of keep that, according to Paul, going into this one.
Focus kind of and freedom almost mentally that comes to these games that we've got to capture. It's clearly defined for us what happens with the result. So the key message will be, play the game, run your routes. We don't need more. But it's usually a recipe for less. So simplicity in our game, and in that way, bring as much energy to that simplicity as you can.
But he's right. They're
absolutely
not expected to win now.
Not
so
at
you
all.
Might as well take advantage. You are going to be the looser team going into this game. Even though you're down 3-1, Vegas is going to be tighter. We've seen this, not just this postseason, but for years and years and years and years, because this is their first opportunity to win the cup.
Yeah.
It's difficult, right? Whereas Fleury's like, well, we're not supposed to win squat now, so we can just go out there and play our game, feel loose, and just have some fun with it. And that's exactly what he's speaking to. And that is the mentality they're going to have. I think the biggest problem with this, and I would feel much more optimistic about their chances in this particular game, except for injuries.
Oh.
This is a very, very hurt team. So we heard earlier today, Paul Maurice came out. So this is Tuesday. This was after the optional skate this morning. And I mean, there's a lot of players who didn't take part in the optional skate.
Mm.
It's June. I don't think you're taking part in any optional skates at this point if you're banged up.
No.
But, and then when he was asked, is Matthew Tkachuk going to be good to go? He said that he knows the answer to that question. He's not willing to share the answer to that question.
Yep.
But he did concede that if he plays, he's going to play. He's not going to be restricted with minutes and opportunities. So he's either good to go full bore or he's not. So that'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, that's huge. That is huge because Tkachuk is right up there with Bobrovsky for the Conn Smythe if the Panthers win. I mean, give it to Bob, I think, going forward, especially now if they come back from down 3-1. But I was hearing rumblings today and yesterday that Tkachuk's injury has to do with the sternum and he may have some cracked ribs as well. That hit he took also didn't help things either. So the fact that he's going in, I don't know, 40, 50, 60%, I think that's okay, but he's a gamer. But that's a massive one going in for this one. They got to do something in the power play. Vegas's depth has been phenomenal. Aiden Hill has come up with some really big saves. But Bobrovsky tonight, Vic, he's been great all postseason, but he has to have the best performance of his playoff life, I think, tonight. At least in 2023.
If
he is to steal the game, he is to steal the game. Then that's fine. But he needs to be as good as he can ever be tonight.
And it's not only absolutely. I mean, is Brandon Montour healthy? No.
No.
He sat out as well.
Radko Gudas is dealing with some issues.
Radko Gudas didn't take part in optional skate. And I mean, he's been banged up for a few games now. I mean, you're talking about ribs and sternums with Tkachuk. And I wonder, I would swear on any book around me that he also dislocated his shoulder at some point in time during the series. We're going to find out afterwards that this is busted. And in the meanwhile, he's fighting through the pain. And you know he wants to be out there. They all do. And I don't like calling them warriors because it's just not, you're still playing a sport. It's still a game. But they're tough guys. They're tough guys and they're competitors. That's the term to use. They're competitors and they want to win. You know, they all want to be out there. Anthony Duclair isn't feeling too hot. So another thing to speak to Vegas's depth with, not only are they, you know, they seem, we're still going to find out a bunch of, we're going to hear a bunch of injuries on that team as well going forward, but they seem to be the healthier squad now. And
yeah,
I think that's also a good part of the battle. So we will. So what are your keys to the game for either side?
Keys to the game for the Panthers, they need to stay within the game. They have to look at it like every minute. Just play within the minute. Don't look ahead. You've been down 3-1 before. You did it against Boston. You came back. A lot more at stake in this one, but nobody expected you to even win a game against the Boston Bruins. The power play needs to get, you need to get something. And if you can get one on the power play early by Aiden Hill, I think that's going to be big. If Vegas tonight gets a couple like they did last time, I don't think the Panthers are going to come back like they did before. And just the depth. I mean, look, Vegas is doing everything right. They're doing everything right. And one quick thing too, that you may not agree, you may agree, I don't know. Thought about this today. The Carolina series that the Panthers had, they swept them, right? 4 straight games. I think that series took a ton out of the Panthers, and it was only 4 games. That took more out of Florida than Vegas' 6-gamer against Dallas. I think that series just almost did them in.
Oh, you think they just laid it out all there?
I just think those games, the overtime, the 4-OT, the close games, just the tightness of it, I really think that's had an effect on this team.
They got so much rest afterwards, though. I wonder about that.
Yeah, I wonder. Anyway, those are my keys. What about you?
They can't go down 3-0. How about that? That's a start.
that's a good one.
They can't, and I'll put it plainer than that. They can't dig themselves any type of hole.
Right.
They need to score first in this game.
Yes.
They need to score quickly, and it's going to be the same keys to the game as when we were talking ahead of game 3 to me.
Yeah.
Bobrovsky has to make a big save early. He has to make a save early and get his head into it. And then you see him, he comes out more confidently. He plays his angles much better. Everything looks better once
it changes.
Makes that big
it changes.
Save. It always does. I mean, it does for us beer league guys. Yeah. We do. If you play well to start, you feel better right off the get-go, right?
Yep.
On top of that, they have to play disciplined. If they don't score on the power play, they can't take penalties either.
Right.
But I would say score first, let them make a big save, and then just keep that rhythm going. But if you spot them 2 or 3 to start this game, I think it's going to be over very quickly.
The owner, Bill Foley, said back in 2016, he said, playoffs in 3 years, a cup in 6. he said, I'm impatient, and that's the way it goes. Commissioner Bettman, when Vegas was announced that they were becoming the 31st team at that time, Commissioner Bettman was outside of T-Mobile Arena. About 5,000 fans for Vegas were there, and they booed him, of course, because everybody boos Commissioner Bettman.
It's tradition.
Yep.
Tradition.
And he said, well, in 6 years, you could be booing me as well when I present the cup to you on home ice. Could be tonight.
He's going to be insufferable to family friends and family members and friends for the rest of his life because if it does happen, he absolutely nailed it. I already know what your prediction is. I'm going to ask you anyways. What do you think?
Vegas wins tonight. I've stuck with 5. I'm going to stick with 5. And I'm going to say 3-1. It'll be 2-1, empty netter, seal the deal.
Conn Smythe?
Where are you at? I have Jack Eichel, but if he scores tonight, maybe get a couple, I think it'll go to him. But Jonathan Marchessault is probably the one who's going to take home the Conn Smythe.
If Vegas comes away from it tonight, Jonathan Marchessault with all the timely goals.
Everyone loves the goals. Yeah, they love the goals.
All the game time goals, the go-ahead goals, the first goals. Yeah. It's not only the goals he has scored, but especially in the second half of the postseason, the timeliness of them all. He's been incredibly clutch. So Jonathan Marchessault.
In Jack Eichel's defense, how many passes onto the stick of Marchessault? Look at the goals that he scored. Beautiful. Anyway, I'm just saying, give it. I mean, carry on.
And that's not sexy enough, Ryan.
I know.
My guy is William Karlsson. That's who I picked. And look at how incredible he has played.
Yeah.
And he was instrumental in that last game as well. I'm just saying he's not going to win it, right?
Yeah.
So, the playmakers and the two-way forwards. Sexy enough. It's going to be Jonathan Marchessault.
All right.
Vegas pulls it off, and unfortunately, I'm going to agree with you. I think it's going to be a little more high scoring than that. I'm going to say it's 4-2. I still think there's an empty netter at the end of it. So I think it's going to be 3-2 for a while, Vegas, and then they're going to get the empty netter. Unfortunately, and like I said last week, heading into game 3, I want to be wrong. I'd want another game in this series, at least one more, but I do believe that Vegas wraps it up.
We shall see. Game time at 8 Eastern time, 5 local. It's going to be a zoo. It always is inside T-Mobile Arena. You talk about Florida, the crazy fan base there that you've seen. It's nuts.
That's one I want to hit next year. I want to hit next year for sure.
Let's do it. Let's do it. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about some hirings of coaches in and around the NHL. And finally, the Sens have been sold. For much more than they were bought by Eugene Melnick 20 years ago. I'm going to just say that.
Just a little bit.
Just a shade. Bucks and Seven, Ryan Payne, Victoria Matiash. We'll be back.
Welcome back to Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
He is Ryan Payton and I am Victoria Matiash, and this is Pucks and Seven. It's one of the last, I would say, episodes of the season. We are drawing to a close. We're not done yet.
No, but it is going to be the last Stanley Cup one. Yeah.
Because not necessarily.
No, it is. Do we have to replay what I said what I've been saying since the series began? No.
Well, we still might want to do a wrap if there's some other coaches moving in the next couple of days.
Yeah, I'm just saying it's the last one we'll talk about the series.
Right. Okay. Anyway.
Carry on. Go ahead.
So we did talk about the series pretty much ad nauseum in the first break, what we expect from the Panthers in Vegas tonight and my little trip to Florida. I want one last shout out on that. I actually had the opportunity to swing by and watch the Hot Stove live and in action at the West End, which was really fun, rather fortuitous because they were nearby, which I hadn't realized. So I finally got to meet Dennis Bernstein and Dave Pagnotta in person.
I feel sorry for them.
They're wonderful, wonderful, wonderful guys. And I've talked to them for several years now as a guest on their show and in different formats. But
I see them in person.
It was the first time to see them in person. That was a real treat. It was actually a highlight of my visit. So I wanted to mention that. But now let's move. We're moving away from Vegas and Florida. And now we're looking at some off-ice movement. We'll start with the hiring. I think we were all expecting to drop the last two, 3 weeks has finally dropped. The New York Rangers do indeed have a new head coach. And we're very familiar with him. This is his sixth team behind the bench as a head coach, Peter Laviolette.
And he's almost coached every team in the Metro, right? He's getting there.
Oh,
the Islanders, Carolina.
Philadelphia. Washington. No, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, the only team's the Rain, Nashville. That's
the only non-Metro team that he's been head coach of. Well, I mean, his resume is admirable for sure.
It is.
There's no questioning that. He won a cup with Carolina. I'm going to say it's 2006, right? I'm terrified.
2006.
Right.
It is 06. Yeah.
I don't trust my brain enough. And he's been to a couple of finals as well. And I remember the one with Nashville actually very, very distinctly.
Yeah.
But again, he's been around. Mm-hmm. So when we've been talking about some fresh-faced 40-year-olds getting into the league to run a hockey team, that is not what Peter Laviolette is.
No.
And so let's just say that the turnstile is still in play in the NHL. It's not necessarily used by every team anymore.
Right.
But it's not a new face in a new place. It's an old face in a new place.
Yeah, and there's not a ton of teams that are trying to help the environment by recycling, but there's a few teams that
are helping.
Yeah,
very
recycling.
Nice.
Here's the thing. It's about what have you done for me lately, or what have you done for me today, or even yesterday kind of thing. Gerard Gallant didn't do too badly with the Rangers, right? Eastern Conference final. Then they were up 2-0 against the Devils. Then they lost to New Jersey. Whatever. I don't blame him. But, that wasn't good enough. So now we have to get in Peter Laviolette. And I think he's a great coach. The thing that I'm intrigued about is that a lot of the reports are saying, well, the Rangers need to tighten up defensively. They have to tighten up on the forecheck. They need to do this. They need to do that. And if you look at the roster that they have, most of it is coming back. Most of it's – and it's not a bad roster. It's really not a bad roster at all.
No, they're really good, actually.
Yeah. So it's not like Laviolette's going into a position, say, like Luke Richardson in Chicago. Okay, now we have a big hill to climb. No, you don't. You're pretty much at that hill. You got to get over, the last kind of 2, 3, 4, 5 kind of steps to get over that. But I don't know. I'm a believer in – kind of the youth and the youngsters and that type of thing, with all the respect to Laviolette, but the Rangers decided to go with him.
I am with you on that 99% of the time. I'm almost willing to make an exception here only because of the veterans, especially up front with this team. He has to manage Panarin.
Right.
Zibanejad.
Right.
Chris Kreider. They're all over 30, Ryan.
I know.
So if you're going to launch in, and that's the makeup of your team up front. That's okay. That's not the makeup, but that's the engine that moves the car.
But then if you launch somebody in who, like the one in Washington now, Canberra, is that? Yeah. If you march somebody in that's younger, it'll give these older guys a bit of a youth kick thing.
suppose there's two different ways of looking at it. I think the spotlight in New York is brighter than in just about every other market.
Yeah.
And to throw a fresh-faced 40-year-old in there who has zero head coaching experience in the NHL. Yeah, I think there's press is still a little bit different there. There's just an intensity that's very similar to Toronto and Montreal, I find.
Yeah.
And I think Washington is still one tier below that. So as just that example. So I don't think it's the worst idea, but we will see. We will see how he fares. I mean, he's a bit of a hard-nosed guy. I don't think he's to the extreme in that respect, but he's certainly not known as a softie. So we'll see how the veterans, especially I'm looking at Chris Kreider in particular and how they're going to respond. Because you got one of the best goaltenders in the league in Shesterkin.
Yes.
But he's not coaching Shesterkin. Like, he's not. He has his own people to do that.
Yeah.
And so it'll be interesting to see how he manages the defensive core and that veteran leadership up front as well.
752 wins in the regular season. He's been around a while. He's 58. So what, 48 away from 800 for his career. No Daryl Sutter. So I didn't think I would say his name again, but I did. But this is a good thing. People who have heard me on this and even on other shows and things, I've just not been a fan of Daryl Sutter. He had to go a lot sooner than he did in Calgary. Anyway, Ryan Huska is now the bench boss in Calgary, and Craig Conroy, who is the new GM, took over for Brad Tree Living, who is now in Toronto, all that type of thing. Here is what he had to say about Huska.
What I was looking for in a coach, you know, I wanted a good communicator, a leader, someone that can inspire this group, play sound defensive hockey with structure. And then on the offensive side, I wanted our guys to be creative and kind of take it to the next level offensively, because they're so skilled nowadays, all the guys, you want to let them have that kind of free reign and go about doing what they do best. And hopefully that's scoring lots of goals.
I like the hire. I do. He's been under three different head coaches in Calgary. He was recruited by Tree Living back in 2014, something like that, to join the AHL affiliate.
And that's he basically in the minors first. Yeah.
Yeah. He said to him, look, if you guys go 0-72, it doesn't matter. Just develop those players and get them to the NHL. And now Vicky's a chance to see some of the players that he helped develop.
So this is sort of the anti-Peter Laviolette hire. He is the fresh-faced 40-year-old.
Well done, Calgary.
And I like this tandem going forward, too. I like the, you know, Craig Conroy is a rookie GM, and now you're going to have a rookie head coach.
Yep.
They both seem very player-focused in terms that they're pro-player. They're more of a player's general manager. I don't even know if that really exists, but more of a player's coach for sure. I'm not suggesting that Huska is going to be a guy to hug it out and he's going to be soft around the edges or anything like that. It still sounds like he has his expectations and the rest of it, but it also sounds like he is going to be a little bit more amenable to letting his players be who they are instead of imposing his structure and his formula on them when it doesn't necessarily fit.
Which is exactly what Daryl Sutter did terribly. In the NHL
he's not
now.
Alone in that, though.
I know.
Daryl Sutter's not alone in that.
The NHL is about adapting to your players. And if you're a head coach, I think you said this to me a couple of weeks ago when we talked about Barry Trotz, right? He's now in Nashville. You said something about what he was saying that Nashville needs to do completely went against his coaching style, right? It was all about this. So nope, now we have to be open and now we have to do that. You got to adapt to the players. You do. I know the players adapt to structure, but it's a player's game. It's not a coach's game anymore. It's a player's game. So,
I just want to see somebody who lets Jonathan Huberdeau play the way he wants to play.
Exactly.
Like after
it's quite simple.
He was allowed to play his game in Florida and broke personal records and impressed us and got himself into every conversation about MVP going. And then
that's on Sutter. That's on Sutter last year.
I'm going to let you say all that aloud. You know, I agree with you. So, but you feel it more than I do. But just when John, and honestly, we didn't see Huberdeau even a shadow of himself until what? The last 6 weeks of the season?
When he was moved to the proper wing.
To play his game. So I just think the players are going to, they're going to appreciate this. They're going to, I mean, he's still, again, he doesn't sound like a big softy either, which is fine.
Right.
But he sounds like he's open-minded. I did like one thing he says, and I'm going to paraphrase here. So my apologies to Ryan Huska if I get a little bit this wrong, but after playing under three previous coaches, including Bill Peters and Daryl Sutter. And he said that he learned from them, but he implied, and he said, oh, they're excellent coaches, because you have to say that. It's more so in the NHL than any other league, because it's the law. You have to say they're all excellent. So he said they were all excellent. But he also said, I learned different things from them. And my interpretation of that was, he's saying, I also learned of what not to do. Mm-hmm. And if he's taken the what not to do from Daryl Sutter and Bill Peters in particular, then I have some hope about how to, and it sounds like he's very open-minded as well. So this is his first appointment. I think you're always going to be a little bit more open-minded. So, but I feel very good. Same as just you said, when Craig Conroy said what he was looking for, and we just heard it, and he's looking for and hiring a new coach. Now, I mean, that's a magic formula to winning the Stanley Cup if you get your team to do all of those things. Oh, possess the puck in the neutral zone, be staunch defensively, and then, you know, rip it up on offense and score lots of goals. That sounds like a pretty good formula to me, too. That's, I'd like a coach who would encourage any team to do that.
That'll work.
But I still like the fact that they were talking about allowing players to be more creative on offense. And I think that's very important in today's NHL.
It's on the players, too. Good to have the new coach. But at the end of the day, it's the ones on the ice who make the difference or not. Finally, this is done, Vic. The Sens, they've been sold. The group led by Toronto-based businessman Michael Andlauer, they reached an agreement in principle. It's looking like it's about $950 million U.S., and we joked a little before we got into this. Back when Eugene Melnyk bought the team in 2003, it was for $92 million. So 20 years removed, it's gone to $950 U.S.
And people think housing prices are going bananas. Jeez.
Yeah.
No, that's a good investment. So we do know that his two daughters, Olivia and Anna, are still going to own about 10%, which I kind of like. And I also like the fact that one of the rules was whoever does buy them, the team has to stay in the market in Ottawa. Yeah. I like that rule as well. I mean, I was rooting for the Snoop Dogg group.
I think a lot of people, the Nico Sparks group.
But we're hearing now, especially I read the Ottawa Sun earlier, and it was reported that they were still scrambling for money late last week.
Yeah.
So you know that's not going to work out. There was the other group out of Pittsburgh, and it sounds like they were getting a little frustrated too. So, okay, hockey guy, billionaire. I think he made his money in healthcare services. It doesn't matter.
Yep.
He has money that I don't comprehend. I just don't understand what billions of dollars. I don't.
No, I don't either. I don't either.
It boggles my brain a little bit, but good. It sounds like he's a hockey guy. It sounds like he's going to have some patience. So the only thing to watch for now is where the new arena gets built, because he's apparently amenable to building it at LeBreton Flats, but he's also talking about having it downtown proper. I've been downtown Ottawa. It's a few kilometers wide. I have no idea where he thinks he's going to put this arena. And I still think the LeBreton Flats idea is probably a little bit better, but it will be interesting, which is, by the way, just a few kilometers outside of downtown Ottawa.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see where this facility lands finally.
It's about almost 23 kilometers from downtown to Kanata. And so like 14, 15 miles, that's about 25 minute drive, something like that. They need a new building. So
yes,
at least
they do.
This is a step in the right direction. Finally, it's been a long process. So now they can get to work on the real work. Talk about recycling. That's what we talked about. Patrick Sharp used to play in the NHL. Now he's kind of back home, if you will, special advisor, with the Philadelphia Flyers. And, I mean, I don't know. There's so many positions in the NHL and so many titles that all these men and women have. I sometimes wonder what is the point of having, like, what does, if I was your special advisor, I'm not just your advisor, I'm your special advisor. So what does that mean? What does that mean?
It means that somebody within the organization wants to hire you and they're going to give you a title. So you're a consultant or you're an advisor but yes, it's fine. I have no problem with it. I have never heard one unpleasant thing about Patrick Sharp.
Right.
Who will always be a Blackhawk to me. I understand the history with Philadelphia, but he's a Blackhawk as far as I'm concerned. But it's still, I've never heard anything said about him in a negative way. Apparently, he's going to work with the prospects, and he's not that far removed from it playing in the NHL either. He's only 41.
Right.
So it wasn't that long ago that he was active. So he still probably remembers what it is like, more so than other people do. So working with the kids, probably with the AHL affiliate and other minor league organizations, and just figure it out. It's fine. I'm happy for the guy. I liked him on television. I liked him on television as well, but I don't know what happened with that. But beyond that, sure. Great. Fantastic. Yeah. Congratulations, Mr. Sharp.
and I was just joking with the amount of different titles that they have, but I'll give Danny.
It does. It just seems like a lot. I give
Danny Breer a ton of credit, right? He was named officially the GM on May 11th. He's hired Keith Jones, Alan McCauley. Now he does Patrick Sharp. So he's revamped and revamping the whole upper brass, I guess, in Philly.
He's so, bringing in his own people, and that's what you want to see somebody do. Well, especially with what we saw with what happened recently with the Flyers. I think this is a good direction to take. So going from Patrick to Patrick.
Oh, I know. C'est bon.
C'est très bon.
Oh, oui, oui.
Patrick Roy, of course, he resigned with his Memorial Cup winning Rampart just a few hours ago, it seems, right now. Was it just yesterday? And then, and there's been so many rumors circulating now about, does he want to get back behind a bench in the NHL? And it just seemed like there was a lot. Where there's smoke, there's fire with this.
Right.
But when he was asked directly, en français, if you would, his answer was absolument aucun. Is there any chance? Have you talked to anybody? And that means nobody at all.
Yeah.
So right now, it doesn't sound like anything is imminent. So then I would like to know why. Why was the resignation so important to happen immediately? Yeah. Maybe it's because he wants to start talking with teams. I'm supposing it's the opening the door to that.
Possibly, but here's the thing. All 32 clubs have a coach right now. There's not one vacancy in the NHL. Laviolette was the last one to fill the vacancy.
You know what's so funny? I keep on forgetting Anaheim hired somebody. They did. It was so quiet.
So unless Vegas decides to fire Bruce Cassidy, which they're not, unless the Panthers decide to fire Paul, I'm sorry, there's no jobs. There's no jobs. So unless another team before October, let's go. I think there's stuff that we don't know.
Of course
Patrick Waugh operates by his own self. He was successful when he was coaching in the league, and then he had a couple of back-to-back bad seasons, and then he was replaced by Jared Bednar. Remember the first game? Wasn't that the first game that he was on the plexiglass? Bruce Boudreaux. I'm pretty sure they were playing Minnesota.
You have a good memory.
Didn't he try? I think it was the first game. He tried to get at Bruce. There was something happening on the ice. I could be wrong. I should have looked this up before, but I'm pretty sure I'm correct.
No, your essence is right. You're right about the spirit of it. I don't remember the exact game, whether it was first one or not, but he's a fiery guy.
Yeah.
I usually say he's a funny duck. He's a fiery funny duck. So he's a fiery funny canar, I should say. But anyway, he's a different dude for sure, but he's also enjoyed success in this game in so many different aspects. So Ryan, somebody's going to hire him as a special advisor.
Oh, will you stop? Yeah, guess who's calling? Patrick Sharp right now. Danny Briere.
Right.
Hey, can you be my special advisor? Hey,
he might land somewhere in some sort of interesting assistant to the president position. I don't think so. I think he's going to want to be the boss of something.
I was correct. It was opening the 2013-14 season. It was against Anaheim. Bruce was coaching the Anaheim Ducks, and the Avalanche were trying to go at it in the stanchion or whatever it is, and Rob was trying to push it over to Bruce. Quite a way to make a first impression, I guess.
And anyway. 10 out of 10 to you for that memory. That's a good one. You drew that one out deep.
I did.
From my brain.
I did.
I do remember that, though. It's quite something.
I did. All right. Out of time. Enjoy game 5 tonight. Again, Vegas, a win away from hoisting the cup, and the Panthers need a win to force a 6th game and hopefully for them beyond game time, 8 Eastern time in Vegas. Catch us wherever you get your podcasts. We're also on the SiriusXM app. Follow us on Twitter at Ryan M. Payton, at Victoria Matiash. I'm half of Vic. I'm Ryan. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the game tonight.
This has been Pucks in 7, available on the SiriusXM app and wherever you get your podcasts.